Welcome to Mondays with Miles, a topic very near and dear to my heart, baseball and the academic performance of those student-athletes. Dr. Brand, the Board of Directors approved emergency legislation with regard to Division I baseball a few weeks ago. Why did they do this?
About a year ago, the Board of Directors was intent upon cutting, perhaps radically cutting, the number of games that were being played in Division I in order to help the student-athletes in Division I baseball do better academically and as exhibited, for example, and measured by APR. Rather than cutting the number of games, the Board of Directors said, we'll back up a step and we'll form a special task force made up mostly of the baseball community, the leadership of the baseball community, and see if we can address more directly the academic issues rather than just cutting games. And so they wound up with a very serious package of several proposals, including the non-transfer rule, including issues such as making sure you're eligible in the fall before you can play in the spring, and so on. And those measures, I think, will make a difference. I really want to congratulate the leadership of the baseball community for making these decisions and moving the board in this direction. Is it controversial? You bet it's controversial. Some would not like to have seen any changes whatsoever, but change it must.
The baseball community has talked a lot about the academic performance of these student-athletes, and when APR was released a couple of weeks ago, we've seen an improvement in the academic performance of those kids. Is there room for more growth?
There's definitely room for more growth. There's no question about that. And there has been some improvement, modest, but in the right direction. In the case, now I'm generalizing, but in the case of baseball, we have student-athletes who are coming in academically reasonably well-prepared. And over their tenure as a baseball player, their academic performance tends to go down. Compare that, for example, with basketball. One of the other sports is having overall problems with APR. Those student-athletes come in less well-prepared academically, and over the period of time that they are basketball players, their academic performance tends to go up. So our question was, what is it about baseball that's driving down academic performance, and what changes need to be made so that that doesn't occur?
Do you think it's possible that there are too many games, specifically at the Division I level?
You know, I think that's controversial. The evidence we have shows that there's not a strong correlation between the number of games within certain limits and APRs. There is some relationship, but you would have to cut the number of games dramatically to have any effect. Actually, I think what the task force did, as the baseball community figured it out, this will be more effective than just cutting games.
Well, they did things like ensuring that student-athletes who are on scholarship now will get 33%, at least a third of a scholarship, as opposed to minute percentages, and now they'll have to sit out a year after transferring as opposed to being able to bounce all over.
Well, once you put in that non-transfer rule, what happens is you're expecting a strong commitment of the student-athletes. They can't be moving around during the summers, Cape Cod League and other places that they've taken a sort of summer free agency. So you're asking them to make a commitment to the university. Well, if you're asking them to make a commitment, the university in turn must make a commitment to them. And so what we've tried to do is make sure there's at least a minimum scholarship, one-third minimum scholarship if you're a student-athlete, and a maximum squad size. So you can't, coach now can't bring in many more players that can possibly play and sort of have a full semester as a tryout and then turn them loose. That kind of a movement is unfair to the student-athletes and decreases tremendously their academic performance as they move from school to school.
I worry a lot about the baseball and the academics, you know, playing 56 games or so that they play at the Division I level before conference tournaments play, before NCAA tournament play, is a lot of games. Now, I would have played a million games if they would have let me in college, but the thing with Division I is that there's a lot more travel than there was for myself at Division III. I would go to a game an hour down the road, come back, plenty of time to study. These kids are hopping on the plane, playing games in the middle of the week, 3 o'clock, different campuses. You know, when are they able to go to class? That's an issue that bothers me.
That's a real problem. They were using the fall semester to get well and weren't able to go to summer school during the summer as some of the other athletes do in football and basketball, for example, because they were busy in summer leagues trying to find new homes and new teams to play on. I think you're right. Student athletes would prefer to play as many games as possible, and the coaches didn't want to see games cut back. And that's the reason we started the task force to begin with. It appeared that the coaches and the student athletes weren't happy to see cut back. And moreover, the evidence didn't point to the fact that if you cut back 4 games, which was on the table, or even 8 or 12 games, I'm not sure that would have made a big difference. It wouldn't have changed the kind of culture of movement between schools that took place. So we had to address that issue head on and in a more specific way. And the specific proposals that came forward were those designed by this task force, which was overwhelmingly made up by members of the baseball community.
All right. Well, positive movement is always good movement, so we will hope that that continues. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.